Hello and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we are doing the winds of change. So the question we want you to think about is, how do you feel when you have to make a change and to convince everybody else that that's the right choice? So we'll be back right after this.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Everyone, and welcome back to New Every Day. Thank you for tuning in again. We're so happy that you're here. And Jen, we're sitting down to continue in the book of Acts. We've taken some breaks here and there
Yes.
to talk about other things and have other guests on the show. And now we're coming back to it, and we're already in chapter 11.
I know, and it's so exciting because as we sat down to look at this chapter, originally we thought, so what is there to talk about chapter 11? It seems like this transition...
Yeah.
passage. And then as we sort of dug into it, we thought, there's a lot of really good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically talking about the winds of change, when change happens. And the question that I asked you about before we went to our intro was, you know, how do you feel when you have to make a change? And I know for me, I do not feel like I am a change agent. I like things to stay the same. So we'll talk about that in the next show, actually, how to deal with change. But that idea of being a change agent, and I actually find myself being in the position of a lead pastor, that I'm the one that is often having to make the change. I'm the one that people are looking to make the change. And the question that I often ask myself is, how do I get everybody on the same page so the change doesn't come like a slap upside the head, or like when you open the door, for those of you who are in a northern climate, when you open the door and that cold breeze comes in, you're just like, you know, and all of a sudden you change and you put on your heavy duty winter coat and your heavy boots and your earmuffs, and right? Because
yeah.
that's not what you expect. It's almost like trauma to your body.
Yeah, and for those of you who are not in Canada, we have had an icy, icy cold blast, like minus 35 some mornings Celsius.
Celsius. And so it's like for a lot of us, you know, this change is like, whoa, how do
it's
we
a shock to
deal
the system.
With this?
Yeah.
And, you know, our poor weathermen and women who have to tell us what the weather's like are probably feeling like, how do we tell them again
yeah.
that it's going to be so cold? And so here we are in the book of Acts talking about change, because in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius has seen a vision, and he is a Gentile. So he isn't a believer, he isn't a Jewish believer per se. And so Peter, who is a Jew, devout follower of Christ, one of the first disciples, is called to actually usher them into the kingdom, which was a big no-no.
Mm-hmm.
So now that Peter has had this experience, a vision came from God saying, this is going to happen, you are to go and welcome them in. Now he has the job of going back to Jerusalem, which is the hub of the Jewish faith, and saying, look, this is what's happened. So he is the change agent.
Yeah.
So why don't we read that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, so this is Acts chapter 11. I'm reading from the New International Version. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance, and I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed creatures of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I replied, surely not, Lord. Something impure or unclean has never, ever entered my mouth. The voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had seen
who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear to his house, in his house, and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered that the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance into life."
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Jen, how Peter reiterates the same story. So this is told twice in full in chapter 10, and then Peter explains it all again.
I know.
In response to the Jews who said, "What? Like you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them? That was like a no-no." And maybe let's take a step back, Jen, and talk about why was that a no-no? And it seems like, what, is this racist? Like, why wouldn't they accept the Gentiles? So where does that come from?
So all the way back to Abraham is when circumcision started. And it basically was an outward sign that you were a follower of God.
Hmm.
Right? So there's stories all the way throughout the Old Testament of when it's like, okay, you want to be a part of us, then you're going to have to be circumcised.
Like, you got to wear our gang colors.
Yeah, that's it. So the gang colors were circumcision. And so then, you were not allowed to associate with people who were not circumcised, who did not claim to be followers of God Jehovah.
Now, is that because, like, they had to have set rules that they didn't cross, otherwise they would be sucked into being pulled away from the Lord and pulled away from following him? Because we see that in the Old Testament, how they end up following other gods.
Yes.
And, yeah, worshiping other gods and involved in, like, crazy immoral behavior by sneaking over and hanging out.
Yes.
Or intermarrying with non-Jewish people.
Exactly.
And so there was this, like, hard and fast line that you don't even eat with them. You know what? I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not even eat with them.
Yes. And so that was the line that had been drawn, is like, if you were a devout follower of God, you are not to associate with people who are not, because you will slip. And so there's the line. And so they're calling Peter on it, saying, "Hey,
like,
you've crossed a line." And so that's why he goes right from the very beginning of where it starts. So he tells a story, which is so important for people to hear.
Yeah, we were just talking about the power of someone sharing a story.
Yes.
And he walks through step by step what happened to bring them up to speed. And the power of someone's experience can be so meaningful to others, because it makes it real.
Yes. And so, you know, part of his, because he's having to tell the story, because God has given him a new word.
Hmm.
That Gentiles are now to be accepted, right? So this is like...
Join the club.
This is life-changing. This is, for their religion, this is now like, whoa, new teaching.
So are they Jewish? Like, do they get circumcised? Which comes up later, right?
Exactly. And so here's Peter having to say, this is how I received, I want to say, the mandate to go forward with this change.
Yes.
And so, and what's interesting is he says the whole story, because that's what he received and moved forward. So he, in his mind, well, if I received that story and that's what caused me to move forward, I will use the exact same story and tell it to these people. And because there are certain things that they would have picked up on, like the three times. So the witness, right? When God tells us something, you know, two or three times, there's a witness to that. There's something that he wants us to pick up. And also knowing, they would have known Peter's story probably of having denied Christ three times and Jesus having told him three times.
Good point.
So there's something about the number three. So he used...
Like when God's talking to Peter, it's coming in threes.
And so Peter had to think through, how do I get these people to understand that this change is from God? Like, he had actually had to think through,
yeah,
how am I going to get them to accept the yeah. change?
That's a really good question. Let's take a minute to think about that, and we'll take a commercial break.
Yeah.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Thanks so much to all of our partners who make this show possible. If you go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click on our partners tab, you can see all of the organizations yeah. and supporters who help make this possible.
That's true.
Including Category 5 TV. We're under that umbrella, and that network mm-hmm. makes this show possible. We're part of that Category 5 family.
Yes, we are.
So when you support us, you're supporting them.
So, mm-hmm. we left with a question, like yeah. how did Peter go about instituting this change or encouraging, speaking to these people, the Jerusalem church, about accepting Gentiles? So we've said it was a big no-no, and yet here, you know, he's being interrogated to say, to come up with a response.
Show us the evidence.
Show us the evidence.
Us what...
And part of the evidence was he shared exactly what God had told him. So he shared the vision,
yeah.
the whole vision. He didn't leave it out. He didn't like modify it to sort of suit his own needs. He said the exact same thing as what's written in the previous chapter. And then he had other witnesses with him. So it wasn't just him who had the experience. There was other men, other, because it says the six other men, these six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. So he had six other witnesses to see what happened. But then the Holy Spirit ultimately was the final witness.
And when we talk about the winds of change, like often the Holy Spirit is talked about, the wind, the breath of God,
yes.
moves in such a way that we can't always see or detect it. And yet Holy Spirit is active in changing others' people's lives and bringing about change before we realize it. And what I think is another gives supporting evidence to Peter's story that this move is actually from God, that God wants to accept the Gentiles, is that he said the men were sent from Joppa, right?
Yep.
The men were sent there. So God was moving in Cornelius's life. He sent the men. Peter had it confirmed in a vision that he should go. He did, and then there was a work of God, and it says how the Jews respond says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter says this, who was I that I could withstand God? Like, they received the same gift, the same Spirit, and so Peter, having received this and then sharing it as the leader of the church there, it gives credence to it because he's saying, like, who am I to withstand God? He is the change agent. He's the catalyst, but the ultimate change comes from Holy Spirit. And I think that, like, for you to, you or whoever, whatever leader, sometimes change comes from lay people or just, you know, normies like me in whatever situation. It's the Holy Spirit who works in advance. Like, the Holy Spirit says that he moves ahead of us, preparing good works for us to do, that we should walk in them.
Yes.
So he already can prepare the hearts of the people to receive the news.
Yes. And the Lord chose Peter. So you have Cornelius, mm-hmm. the layperson, who something is happening in Cornelius's heart, and God's like, now's the time. So he prepares Cornelius's heart, right, to receive, And then he chose Peter because Peter was the person of influence to actually make it happen. Had Cornelius just received the Holy Spirit and had gone to Jerusalem, it might not have been received the same way. So there's
coming from a Gentile.
So there's Peter, like leader, like one of the leaders of the church, right? Like the head disciple, on this rock I will build my church. So God, Jesus had already set him apart as like the lead.
Yeah.
And then, so he receives it. So it's important also when change happens, like the leader very much is the one that institutes or gives it credence. So he's already, God is working in the hearts of the people.
Yeah.
So then there's the leader that can make the change happen.
Yeah.
Person of influence. It's so important that if you are instituting that change, that you are hearing from the Lord. And that's what he says. Who was I?
Yeah.
So he did not come up with the idea.
Yeah.
Which is so
this
important.
Is key.
He didn't come up with the idea. But God spoke to his heart.
Yeah.
He followed it through. And then he responded, realizing that he was the one that really had to make the change, even though he's not the one that came up with it. And then he just simply says, who was I to oppose God? And then he trusted the Holy Spirit. Because it just says he explained. He didn't like argue with them.
Yeah.
He just said.
It doesn't say, and Peter felt the need to face punch.
Yeah.
or do anything.
Or to use his authority to say, look, like.
I was with Jesus. Don't you think I would hear from the Lord? Blah, blah, blah.
So.
There was no need for defense because the Holy Spirit did it.
So when the wind. Exactly. The Holy Spirit did it. When the wind of change comes in. If it is Spirit-led, he's already preparing people's hearts. He's already preparing people's hearts. He's putting people in place to actually make it happen. And when it's from the Lord, even though for Peter, in the beginning, was so uncomfortable, like he wrestled with that Lord, like, Lord, like I've never eaten anything unclean. Where are you going with this? And so the Lord actually walked him through change so that Peter could walk through change with the people in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And that's often how it happens. So you might be thinking, well, I'm not really a change agent, but that's okay. God can still be using you to be that change agent.
Yes.
He's going to prepare your heart. He's going to prepare the hearts of the other people. And he's going to go before. Like, that's why it's like the wind of change. Like, the wind comes in, and very often, you know, the Lord will put something in my heart, and then I'm like, okay, Lord, then you need to prepare the hearts of the people so that when I say something, there's a heart to receive it.
Yes.
Because that's how you really know if something is from God, is that all of a sudden people are like, well, God just told me this about that, and God just told me, and you're like, whoa.
And sometimes it feels like an arduous process, but it happens.
It happens. So
there's so much more to talk about this.
I
have so many more questions. And so we hope that you'll join us next week, same time, same place. And we're going to keep talking about the winds of change and what it looks like to look at change theory and who you are, where you fit in that change theory.
Yes.
So do you want to pray for us, Jen, before we go?
So, Lord, change. You can orchestrate change, and you do it in the coolest way. And so if you are calling some of our viewers to be change agents, would you give them courage to hear what you're saying and a belief in your spirit to prepare the hearts and prepare the way and to prepare them? So we're going to trust you, Lord. We're going to trust you to use us to bring about the changes that you want in your kingdom. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
See ya. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.